What an election. Never in the history of our country have we seen anything like this. Never. Just amazing. And, you know, I shared a few moments ago, just looked at Jamie and I said, well, you've been through your first American election. New experience. But, you know, we have somebody here from Thailand. We have Russians here. We have Canadians here. And just all kinds of people. And even some Americans, praise God. But it was quite an election. Many years ago, if you had talked to people and said, well, you know what? Today's coming, and we're going to have an election, and it's going to involve, you know, blah, blah, and these kind of people and all this other, folks would have laughed at you. They'd have said, there's no way. That'll never happen. Never. Ever. But it happened. And we've never had a person elected to be president who's had no political experience or no military experience. You know, Eisenhower was elected, and he really had no military or no a political experience. George Washington, he was elected. He really had no political experience. But for somebody that's never had any of that, you know, here we have a person really with a very fresh perspective on things. A lot of people would be very critical about a lack of experience, but I think a lot of people might be missing the fact that you don't become a billionaire without dealing internationally. So Donald Trump has had a lot of experience dealing with situations in a way that maybe a lot of politicians have not. And along the way, when you're going to expand into other nations, sooner or later, you're going to come in contact with political leaders in those nations. So it's not that there's a lack of experience, it's that there is a lack of notable political experience. And Donald Trump has not had to play political games to get elected. He has, I don't want to say he's done it on his own, because he's always surrounded himself with smart people. But he hasn't had to depend on a political office for success. And anyway, there are a lot of advantages to having somebody like that in a position of being the president. It is going to be so interesting to see how things happen. You know, somebody like Donald Trump, you know how they say he's his own man? He is his own man. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how things progress. Now that the elections are over, I cannot influence anyone to vote one way or the other. So I can name all kinds of names, praise God. And I think you understand what I'm talking about concerning laws and this, that, and the other. It's interesting how that in the past, the Lord has ministered to me about presidential elections. And there are things that I have shared. He's given me, you know, prophetic words and so forth. But this particular election was rather unique. I guess I could say it like this. I was waiting, but never really was given a word and a release to share anything. So I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. I mean, it didn't bother me, but I thought this is kind of interesting. And at the same time, I noticed that in me, I had a peace about this election that I've never had about any other election. And interestingly, I had that peace in the midst of so much turmoil concerning the election. Meaning, Now, I'm not including every person here or every person listening, but there was so much upheaval in people's lives, and they expressed it through their words and through their posts on the internet. There were people that were, well, you had just a wide range of emotions and a wide range of comments, and not all of it was good. A lot of it was terribly out of line. And yet, I had this peace, and I didn't really understand it. I understood it, but I didn't really understand it because I'd never experienced it before in a presidential election. And I guess if you're ever going to be concerned or worried, this would have been the election to be concerned or worried, because it really was a very unique election. We, you know, I've never seen a political party so divided, so disrupted, so mean, so critical, and yet its representative still win. That was really kind of weird in a way. Isn't it interesting how when the election is over, everybody's nice to everybody? I call that hypocrisy. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Republican anti-Trump leaders now respond while he is in the Oval Office, and they need him to be nice to them. It's going to be interesting. I could just see some of these guys going in there to talk to him about stuff and him saying, oh, wait just a second, wait, hold on, and hit the play button and start playing back some of the things they said. Before we talk about this appropriation bill, let's talk about those things you said. Now, I know he won't do that. I was just making that up. I don't think he would do that. But quite frankly, I don't think it would be out of line. You know, anyway. We may never know the impact we made on this election this past Monday night. But it wasn't just us. However many churches or groups of people got together on Monday night or Sunday night, whatever, prior, just, you know, last couple of days before the election, we just may never know the impact we had. But I know this, based on the scriptures that I shared Monday night and many other scriptures, God responds to prayer. We don't force his hand, but it's like we're, through our prayers, we're opening a door for him to move. Through our repentance, we're opening a door for him to move. And so, what if, you know, think of it like this. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, you know, I'm not going to vote. You know, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. Because if you do research, you'll find out how a lot of elections and bills and so forth have passed by one vote. By one vote. Thinking of that, is it possible that what we did on Monday night was the tipping point for the election? Is it possible? I'm not saying it is. What I'm saying is we cannot devalue or undervalue when we come together for things like that. We don't have a church that's running 10,000. I mean, at least not tonight. You know, Sunday may be different. Make for a long day. But, it, you know, God responded to 120 in the upper room. He's responding to people, if my people, he didn't say if all of them, I mean, but we came together. We came together. So we really don't know how critical the role we played on Monday night, but we did play a critical role. as the election was progressing, I really didn't have an interest in seeing the results. You know how it is on TV. It's just constantly, you know, they're giving you all these updates, and they have to fill the airtime. So they get these panels, and everybody's talking and giving their input and talking about things that you already know happened and blah, blah, blah. And I just did not want to hear all that. So I was watching a football game. In fact, I double-checked. I thought, surely there's a football game on tonight. And there was. I thought, oh, glory to God. So, you know, I'm watching this football game. And plus, we watched some shows that we had DVR'd and some shows, you know, programs that we sometimes watch, you know, on demand, things like that. Then about, I don't know, maybe 9:30, switched over to watch one of the networks just to see what was going on. And when I saw what was happening at 9:30, as far as electoral votes, I thought, wow, look at this. This is incredible. And so from that point on, we pretty much stayed right there. Well, plus the football game ended. So we pretty much stayed watching that, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, he's going to win. And I said, okay. So I keep watching, and I keep watching. And it got up to where Donald Trump had 254 electoral votes. And then I felt the anxiety start to rise up. Come on, oh God, and I'm praying. And it's like, you know, and I knew he wasn't going to like reach down and start changing some of the votes. I knew he wasn't going to do that. It's like, God, come on, they got, and it's like, wait, I know this isn't the right way to pray. I'm sorry. Oh, I thank you, hallelujah. And I just, so I've got, it's weird, I had this peace, but my emotions were like, and, I mean, this went on for a while, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just, oh, Jesus, I praise you. I praise you for the victory. I praise you, Jesus, for the victory. No, but hurry up, God. Yeah, I want that too. I praise you, Jesus. And he told me like three times, he's going to win. Then, you know, a bit later on, I'm still battling this thing. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Donald Trump is going to win. And I didn't want to argue with God, but it's like, well, then give him the votes, bless God. Finally, I said, you know what? I'm talking to myself here. I said, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm going to bed. So I went to bed about, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that. And I'm laying there in bed, you know, it's like, I'm going to go to sleep. Oh, God. I'm going. Well, then about 3 o'clock in the morning, Kathy comes in. She goes, Jim, Donald Trump's the next president, like that. And I said, yeah, I knew. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, you and me, God. Yep. And I'm glad, you know. Honestly, guys, I really do feel for Hillary Clinton, because normally what happens is the candidate who loses the election comes out and makes a statement, and she didn't. Not until today. I'm not sure why. I'm only guessing that she was so emotionally devastated she couldn't come out. Now, you know what? I don't want that for her. I mean, I really don't want somebody going through that kind of emotional upheaval. And, you know, she did come out today and make a speech, and I felt like that her speech really was a decent speech, except for the way she used Scripture. Because if you didn't catch it, and you go back and listen to it again, she made reference to, you know, don't get weary in the well-doing because, you know, you, you know, keep sowing and eventually you're going to reap in due season. And she used that in reference to the liberals continuing to sow their agenda. And eventually, I'm thinking that, you know, that ain't right. And I don't think God's too approving of that. But nevertheless, either she read it in the Bible or somebody read it to her, but, you know, and she's right. That's in Scripture. Praise God. So there's hope. Hallelujah. But anyway, and I was also very impressed by Donald Trump's speech. It was very subdued, very controlled. And I appreciated seeing that side of him in a public forum. But when it comes to what all is going on now, this morning when I woke up and I'm thinking about all the what had happened and meditating on it, the Lord began to minister to me, and he brought to my attention a story in Scripture, using that story to illustrate what has been going on, what's happening now, and what is coming. And I'm going to share that with you. And I'd like you to open to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now there is so much Scripture, I simply won't take the time to read it tonight. I will make reference to it. You can go back and read it later. Because I'm going to be identifying several chapters. And to understand, I mean, if you want all the details of what happened, you're going to have to go back and read the chapters. Because I'm not reading the chapters, and we're only going to read a few verses here in just a few moments. But this story has to do with Israel, Saul, and David. And I'm going to share with you how he shared it with me. Now, he didn't give me word by word, dialogue or what have you. It was like he presented the image to me of what was happening. So I'm not sharing with you I'm not repeating word for word to you what he word for word said to me. I'm sharing with you the image that he gave to me. Now in this, it's very important that you keep in mind, once we get into the prophetic aspect of what he shared, and some of it will be what he literally said. I'll be reading it to you. We're talking about imagery. Now, it's very important that you remember it is imagery. It's from this story we're going to reference. So some people could say, well, that's not exactly what... And I know what you're talking about, but he used this story to illustrate what's been going on. So I want to be sure that's clarified here at the very beginning. Now, don't turn to this. Stay in 1 Samuel 13. But to recap, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people wanted a king. And that was in total opposition to God's word. Because he told them, you don't need a king. Well, Samuel went before the people, and he warned them what would happen and all the evil that king would bring upon them. All the stuff that would take place. But the people completely ignored the warning because they did not believe the voice of God's prophet. And if you go back and study what happened with Samuel, it was like the people wanted him around when they felt a sense of desperation or they wanted something dealt with. But when they just didn't want to hear it, they didn't want him around. Well, that's the way it is today, too. Christians want the prophet to tell them they're going to be rich and famous, but they don't want the prophet to tell them, repent, because you're on a path to hell. You know, anyway. So Samuel warned the people about this, and they just would not believe him. Just flat out would not believe him. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and chapters 10, Saul from the tribe of Benjamin became Israel's first king. And this was a result of the fact that the people wanted to be ruled by man, not God. Now, this is important. They wanted to be ruled by man, not God. Now, we're talking about Jews who had the law and acknowledged God, but they didn't want to be ruled by God. But if you'd asked them, do you want God to be in charge? They'd have said yes, absolutely. But then they still wanted this king. So they wanted this king because they wanted to be ruled by man, not God. They rejected God's plan in favor of what they thought a king could give them. That's the only reason they wanted that king. Because we want, anyway. Well, in 1 Samuel chapters 13 and 15, Saul decided he knew better than God, even though he professed to know God. And that had to do with the sacrifice. He decided that he was going to offer the sacrifice instead of Samuel, even though Saul had been told, don't do it. Don't do it. But Saul thought, well, you know, I can go ahead and do this. I mean, after all, you know, I'm the king. I'm the guy in charge. Then later on, Saul was supposed to kill Agag, and he was supposed to kill all of the animals that had been captured. And Samuel shows up and he says, well, wait a second. You're telling me that you obeyed? What's that bleating I hear in the background? Saul said, oh, well, I did obey, but we just kept the best for the people. For the people, not me, for the people. The best animals for the people. And Samuel said, well, who's this over here? He goes, oh, well, that's Agag, you know. And one of the reasons in those days that the enemy tribes or armies would keep the other king alive is because they would parade the captured king in front of everybody so that the winning king could stand up and say, see, you see, we got the king. We've got the leader. Well, in 1 Samuel chapters 13 and 15, Saul decided he knew better than God, even though he professed to know God. He was a Jew. I'm the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, I'm a Jew. I love God. That's why I killed this animal, because I'm sacrificing unto God. Even though God told me not to, I still did it because I'm honoring God. But if you study what happened under Saul's leadership, there was financial upheaval. There was increased military conflict. And there was a weakened military. Now, I want to show this to you in 1 Samuel 13, in verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. And they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. And so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. I mean, meaning they had their own sword. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Do you realize what this is saying? The Israelites had put weapons in the hands of the enemy. Does that sound familiar? They had put, and then when it came time to fight, the military was weakened and really couldn't. And if it weren't for God, they'd have been wiped out on day one. Well, in 1 Samuel, now as I'm reading these things to you about these different chapters, keep all this in mind because we're going to hear it again. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God revealed to Samuel that the day was coming, someone who would do what was right would sit on the throne of Israel. That was David. Remember that? But Saul was still the king. And then in 1 Samuel chapters 17 through 19, the people of Israel became more aware of David. Remember, he kills Goliath. They take out the Philistines. And the people start singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. So the people were becoming more aware of this guy named David, who he was, what he could do, so on and so forth. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 through 30, it reveals conflict between Saul, a person who professed to trust God, and David, a person who sought after God. Remember, Saul was chasing after him. Saul made it impossible for David to live a normal life. He persecuted him, chased him. I mean, just on and on. It was terrible. David, he just couldn't live the way he wanted to. Well, in 1 Samuel 31, Saul's reign ends. He dies. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, David is finally recognized. Now, years have gone by, all right? Time has passed. And after Saul's death, David is finally recognized as king during a ceremony in Judah. However, in fact, if you want to turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 2, give you a moment to get over there. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, in verses 1 through 7, David is finally recognized as king during a ceremony in Judah. However, Abner, Saul's army captain, took Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, made him king over Gilead, the Asherites, Jezreel, Ephraim, Benjamin, and the rest of Israel. And you can see this in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. And Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over the house of Israel, and reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David." Now, in 2 Samuel chapters 2 through 4, it records that there is great conflict between those following David and those aligned with Ish-bosheth. However, look in chapter 3, 2 Samuel chapter 3. It says, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." Now, when it's talking about the house of Saul, it's not simply talking about the house of Saul. It's talking about all the people who are following after Ish-bosheth and really even Abner. And so in 2 Samuel chapters 2 through 4, there's great conflict between those following David and those aligned with Ish-bosheth. But in what we just read, 2 Samuel 3:1, the house of David continually gained strength, even though those following David appeared outnumbered. Meaning it looked like there was a whole lot more people against David than there were with David. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, we see that the nation of Israel is finally reunited under David. Now, that is, everything I've just shared with you is the summary of the image or the illustration that God was using to explain what's happened, what's happening, and what's coming. So with all of this in mind, I'll begin to read to you what he said. "The spirit of Saul has reigned over this nation for 8 years. People in this country, particularly many who profess to be Christians and committed to serving God, decided they no longer wanted his word to be their standard. Instead, they wanted a king they thought would give them what they believed was fair and to their benefit. What they were actually seeking was someone who would accommodate their falling prey to the deceitfulness of riches and the fulfilling of the various lusts of the flesh. The leader they chose publicly professed his belief in and relationship with God, but his actions have revealed essentially no respect for God and his word, an attitude of arrogance toward God and a denial of doing anything wrong has become more and more apparent. Under the leadership of this Saul, there has been financial upheaval, a weakened military and increased military conflict. There has also been great conflict between the spirit of Saul and David, meaning those who seek after God. More and more legitimate religious freedoms have been removed or greatly restricted. Christians have found it increasingly difficult to publicly live their Christianity without persecution. Some Christians have faced unemployment and some faced legal prosecution, all because of their beliefs. In other words, what Saul did to David, it's been a variation of that theme. The Saul elected has been persecuting the Davids in the United States. While this was happening, now this is interesting. While this was happening, God knew someone else would rise up and unseat the spirit of Saul. This person had already been gaining more and more public recognition as a no-nonsense individual. And when the Lord shared that with me, immediately He brought to mind, from 2004 to 2015, Donald Trump was hosting that program, The Apprentice. Every week, people were watching him. They knew his behavior. They knew his attitude. They knew he was a no-holds-barred. And they learned the phrase, "You're fired." It became a catchphrase. From 2004 until the time that he declared his candidacy for president, which was on June 16th of 2015, for essentially 12 television years, Donald Trump had been politicking for the presidency and didn't even know it. Had he not been on that program, nobody would have taken him seriously. But he was constantly in the public eye. Even people who couldn't stand that show, they knew who Donald Trump was. He had movie stars. He had sports people. It didn't matter who was there. If he didn't like them, boom, you're fired. You're fired. So for all of those years, he was effectively campaigning and didn't even know he was campaigning, to the point that everybody in this nation essentially knew Donald Trump. Well, to continue, the spirit of Saul has been unseated. Though Donald Trump is not another David, his positions and openness to receive godly counsel reveals someone who understands the decline of this nation, someone whose moral character is greatly aligned with the standards of Scripture. Now, before I go any further, a lot of people are going to squawk on that one. What do you mean his moral? Do you not know what he's done in the past? Say that again. Do you not know what he's done in the past? Yeah. You mean the film clips of when he was like 40 years younger? And let's think about this. You know, well, he said all those mean things about women. Okay. It's honesty time here in this church. I have found it absolutely amusing, to say the least, all the women that got all upset about those terrible things that he said about women. I'm not saying he said that he shouldn't have said them. Don't misunderstand. But it's like women have no clue that's what men say. Come on. It's, come on, and can I be blunt? How could you women be so stupid? You're living in denial. You just want to take it out on Donald Trump. When every man in here, I don't care who you are, every man in here, every man watching this, every man who listening to this, in fact, almost, I'm going to say almost, not every, but almost every man, if he's going to be honest, is going to say, I said the same kind of things about women myself. But men don't want to stand up and say something like that because they're afraid of their wives. But I'll admit it. I'll stand here and say, now, obviously, you know, before I started living for Jesus, okay? But I said mean and critical things. Some of the things that Donald Trump said, I said variations on the theme. So it's not like the male population has only Donald Trump who said this. Men have said it, and the truth is women know men have said it. So to act so shocked that a man would say, here's the difference. The difference? Donald Trump has lived with a microphone in front of his face for most of his life. Now, if all the men in here had lived with a microphone in front of our faces, you'd have a whole lot of nice film clips on us too. You see what I'm saying? So when it comes to this whole thing of he doesn't have any kind of moral character, that's not true. And besides that, Donald Trump did make a decision to seek out born-again, spirit-filled leaders to counsel. He met with them. I don't remember Hillary Clinton doing anything like that. That's because it didn't matter to her. I'm not trying to be mean to her. That's just the way it is. But it did matter to Donald Trump. And the reports coming out now are that he has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, you can say that's just politics, or you can say that's real. Either way, the things he has said in his campaign demonstrate the moral character of Scripture, regardless of how he's lived in the past. And I can tell you right now, David, if he were alive today, he wouldn't get elected. In fact, they'd arrest him and put him in prison. Not just for all the adultery, but remember, he did conspire to commit murder, and he did cover it up. So yeah, that'll put you in prison real fast. So it isn't that Donald Trump is this horrible, mean, nasty person. It's just he doesn't try to hide it like a lot of people. So therefore, the spirit of Saul has been unseated. Though Donald Trump is not another David. Now remember, these are things the Lord's sharing with me. Though Donald Trump is not another David, his positions and openness to receive godly counsel reveal someone who understands the decline of this nation, someone whose moral character is greatly aligned with the standards of Scripture. However, the spirit of Abner and the spirit of Ishbosheth are even now very active to refuse to acknowledge Donald Trump as the next president. Remember, those are the two guys that rose up against David, even though the ceremony was held to acknowledge David as king. The spirit of Abner and the spirit of... Now, when it says the spirit of Abner, there are not specific demons named Abner and Ishbosheth. So I don't want you to think I'm implying that, or that that's what the Lord was saying. However, the spirit of Abner and the spirit of Ishbosheth are even now very active to refuse to acknowledge Donald Trump as the next president. Already... And this, the Lord had me look this up on the internet. Already, protests, fires, and flag burnings have taken place in many cities, some of which are Berkeley, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Seattle, San Jose, Washington, D.C., and Portland, let alone protests which have taken place on high school and college campuses. Now, this is already going on. And if you go online, what you're going to find out, there are groups right now planning to move to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. Here's my note. It's interesting how liberals want to be taken seriously, yet so many of them act like immature, spoiled, bratty children in adult bodies. This is such a contrast to the way conservatives responded when Barack Obama was first elected, then re-elected. So to continue, you must pray now and continually for the safety of Donald Trump and his family. The enemy believed he had this election in his hands. He is furious beyond measure at the outcome. Now, Satan doesn't know the beginning from the end. He only knows what he sees. He's not God. He did not know Donald Trump was going to win. He thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. And all the polls were saying, well, Hillary's going to win. She's got a big old lead. She's going to win. And if you were watching it last night, yeah, and they would, you know, cut over to the Democrat headquarters, you could tell these people are really bummed out. And repeatedly, the story was coming out. They're shocked. They can't believe this is happening. Nobody foresaw this coming. Nobody was prepared for this. And there were people crying and all kinds of stuff. And people getting up, leaving her headquarters there in New York. And I'm thinking, boy, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, I'm just... fair weather friends, I'll tell you what. But anyway, to continue this, the enemy believed he had this election in his hands. He is furious beyond measure at the outcome. If he can, he will stop Donald Trump from taking the oath of office. I tell you, pray for Donald Trump's safety, his health, and the safety of his family. Don't take this lightly, guys. Do not take this lightly. What I'm sensing in my spirit is that there are already plans being formulated to assassinate him. And some of it involves those in the Democrat Party. I have no proof. I have no evidence. It's only what I'm sensing. You got to understand, there are people in both parties. They're wacko. Republican or Democrat, okay? There are some people, they just don't have a good grip on reality. So you just don't know. Anyway, to continue, he said, do not forget to pray for Mike Pence in the same fashion. For he is a child of mine and is positioned to sit in the seat of the presidency. Mike Pence is openly born again. Openly born again. And one of the things that the Lord shared with me about this during the worship tonight is that across the world, there are other principalities who have now been put on alert as a result of this election. I don't even know how to express this, but I'll say it. Do not take this as a word from the Lord necessarily, but I would not be surprised to see increased military action or preparation in other nations. Along with that, don't be surprised to see an increase. Boy, how can I say this? I don't want to sound like some kind of a conspiracy theorist or, you know, alarmist, but the bottom line is there are radical Islamic terrorists in this country. And I'll guarantee you they do not want Barack Obama to step down. And they don't want Donald Trump to step up. This is just the world we live in now, guys. Anyway, to continue, he said, the power of my word and my life in Christians can help you to suppress and stop the spirit of Abner and the spirit of Ishbosheth. You will not need to protest. You will simply need to press deeper into me. As you do, my glory released through you will increasingly blind the camps of Abner and Ishbosheth. You will never perfect your nation. But through you, I can bring about a level of stability. Remember, my word, my glory, my life, and my presence are the answers you need for every problem in your nation. There is another aspect of this election I hope you have noticed. Many of you have believed that certain politicians are very conservative in their convictions. But I have exposed what is truly in their hearts. Many of them had a chance to align themselves with someone who was willing to take on and defeat the spirit of Saul, liberalism, and antichrist spirit, perversions, and the murder of the unborn, yet they refused. In doing so, they revealed that they are more concerned with social protocol and their own political identity. Those who did this are double-minded and unstable. They refused to use the influence of their position to try and unite your nation against the powers of darkness. They were willing to allow the spirit of Saul to continue to reign. Many are saying, I have given the United States more time to repent and seek my face. However, I am not the one who changed. I have always been ready to move in your country. You are the ones who changed the course of your nation. You are the ones who prayed. You are the ones who voted. Do not think all is well and all has been settled. Your enemy will not give up, and neither should you. Do not become comfortable. Continue fighting in the spirit. Do not allow the enemy to rise again in greater influence. Keep fighting until I return, for I desire to find you fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So what's coming in, well, you know, he's pretty much given us an idea of what is going to come. And when it comes to the elections in the future, at any level, one of the things that he impressed upon me was that this should serve as notice to you. You better pray over every single election to be sure you know who you're voting for. Because Republicans put people in office in the past who were still serving in those offices during this election, and those people did what they could to stop Donald Trump from being elected. The people of the Republican Party. Now, maybe you're Republican, maybe you're Democrat, maybe you're none of the above. I don't know. But there was treason in the Republican Party. And yet, look what happened. It's the prayers of the church which opened up, if you will, a door in the spirit for God to move. Who knows how many people walked into those poll areas, voting areas, fully intending to vote for Hillary Clinton, and then for whatever reason, they realized, no, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. We just don't know. But I do know this. We need to continue to pray, because Donald Trump is going to be naming people to his cabinet. So we need to pray that the people he names will be the right kind of people. Now, the truth is, I believe with Donald Trump's experience, he has more experience in his world than a lot of politicians have in the political world. Donald Trump has a lot of connections. He knows how to find good people, smart people. If he's in real estate, he knows how to find good real estate people. If he's in this over here, he knows how to find good people in that thing over there, whatever it would be. I believe that's going to carry over into his presidency. He'll know how to find the right people. But we want God to help him out. And we don't, well, let me say it like this. We need to pray that he will continue to reach out to the body of Christ for input. Now, we don't have to know when he does that. It doesn't have to be public. In fact, it may be more beneficial that it is, quote, behind closed doors. But we just need to continue to pray that he'll continually open up to the people, folks that have influenced him or ministered to him and prayed for him. In fact, here a few weeks ago, I saw the pictures that he, I don't know where this church was, but he actually attended. It was like a charismatic church service. So he's been exposed to a lot of things in the body of Christ. You know, God bless him for that. Even if he didn't understand what happened to me, for crying out loud, he did that. And you can say, well, it was all just for show. Well, you know what? Even if it was just for show, he was there. He was there. And that's more than we can say for Hillary Clinton. But from this day forward, not only should we pray, you know, for Donald Trump and just, you know, all of what's going on, but guys, we also need to remember the Clinton family. We also need to remember just all these people that have been in opposition, because Jesus Christ died for them too. And they need to know him. honestly, I can say when it comes to what they've done and what they've supported and all this other, that pales in comparison to their need for Jesus Christ, and I do not want any of them spending eternity in hell. I don't want that. I would love to see Bill and Hillary Clinton in heaven. I mean that. And give them a big old hug. And just say, I love you. And if you're here tonight or you're watching this and listening and you've got a problem with that concept, man, you need to get in there with God and walk in His love. Well, guys, we need to continue to pray. And I don't know what the future holds for us as a church as far as what we'll do in the future concerning elected officials and so forth. You know, I'll be seeking God for direction on that. But, you know, folks say, well, a church needs to be socially active. What we did Monday night was extremely socially active. Extremely. I'm all in favor, you know, give food to hungry people and go onto the street corners. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But you need somebody doing some praying too. Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and stand. I had no idea the service was going to go this direction until this morning, and then throughout the day, the Lord kept ministering. In fact, at one point, I started thinking, nah, this isn't what I'm supposed to share. And then this afternoon, He just confirmed it. No, you need to share this. This needs to be the service tonight. So praise God. With politicians, I would kind of know what to expect once they take the oath of office. But what we're looking at right now, this is one of the most incredible times in the history of the world to see what's going to take place. Hallelujah. Okay.
I just want to share that this morning, after I got up, after a few hours of sleep, and I was watching the TV and stuff, and, you know, I was praying in the Spirit a lot during watching a lot of this stuff, and I had this really huge burden come over me about praying for Donald Trump's safety and for Mike Pence's safety. And Jim will tell you that I did, and I shared another prophetic word from another minister, okay, that was along these lines, okay? And the last thing that we did this morning before Jim left to come to the house was we joined hands and we prayed over them, and we prayed for their safety, and we will continue to do that. And I put a post on Facebook today, and I said in that we need to pray for the safety of our president and vice president-elect. We need to pray for their safety, their health, okay, and their families, and for all of our elected officials. We need to do this, and it's like, this is not the end. This is the beginning. And we have to stay in there. We've got to stay in there. And we've got, just like the Lord instructed, we've got to fight this fight. And we've got to do it in the prayer closet for our new president, President Trump. But Hallelujah. It was very heavy on me this morning. And I shared that with Jim. And that's why we prayed before he left to come to church today.
So anyway, guys, we want to keep praying about this and just continue to press in.